We want to take this moment to realize and to acknowledge, if you are a veteran, I'm going to ask you to stand and remain standing. If you are currently active, I want you to stand and remain standing. In any of our services, Coast Guard all the way through Marines, I want you to stand and remain standing. If you are... Remain standing. Wow. Remain standing, please. Now, if tonight you are here and you have a husband or a wife that is away on deployment in any part of the world, of course we think of Iraq tonight, Afghanistan, but we've got troops all over the world. If you have a husband or a wife, if you've got a daughter or a son, if you have made that sacrifice, will you stand up as well? And we're going to pray for all of you. Stand up if you would. Awesome. Excellent. Right now, remain standing. Let's pray together as a church and give God thanks for our freedoms. Because without people willing to sacrifice and make themselves available, we wouldn't have the ability to preach the gospel tonight. We wouldn't have the ability to be free tonight. Freedom, it comes at a great cost, as you will hear tonight. Father, we ask you to bless those that are standing right now for all that they have done, all that they have given. And Lord, I know that these that are here right now, they don't see it as some great cost perhaps to them. They are maybe humbled by this moment. They don't see that what they really have done or what they're doing really matters much. But Father, it matters everything to us. And it matters much to a world that wants freedom. And we thank you that tonight, that as in fact Christmas is dawning in Iraq today, that there are 57 million gathered around in that part of the world who have been freed to worship Jesus without the fear of being attacked or killed today or tomorrow in our time zone. We thank you, Father, for the sacrifices that have been made by the family members standing. We ask you, Father, that you would minister your love and your grace to our troops, that you would comfort them all around the world. Lord, that you would grant them victory. And Father, that you'd cause your great hand of protection to be upon America. Lord, that you'd watch over us and that you'd keep evil far from us. And so, Father, we pray that these standing here tonight and those that are representing those that are abroad for us, that you would bless them beyond our ability to ask you, Father, that you would overwhelmingly grace them with your goodness. In Jesus' name, and all of God's thankful people said, amen. God bless you all. Thank you so much. Well, tonight, it is exciting. I got to tell you, I got out of my truck tonight and started to make my way to the office. And this precious little girl ran up to me with a glowing face. And the first thing that she said was, "I'm opening my gifts at midnight tonight. As soon as it's midnight, I'm opening my gifts." And do you remember like that? Maybe you're still like that, but I remember being like that. I remember trying to stay up, remembering Christmas arrives at midnight, you know. I never made it, but I was quick to get up at about 4 or 5 a.m. My parents hated that. But what a great thing. And we need to be like that tonight. And I want all of you to be thinking tonight, we are going to go through this message, and the message is entitled, Arriving at the Joy of Christmas. That's what's happening. When she came up tonight and she said, it's going to be midnight when I open my gifts. When you're little, you're counting the moments. You're counting the days. Remember that? It's 13 days till Christmas. Then it's 9 days till Christmas. And then you get down to the hours and you're so excited. Why? Because it's arriving. It's coming. And I want to encourage you this evening as we look through this message that arriving at the joy of Christmas is the absolute number one priority of not only this season, of not only our lives. This night, tonight, your life, your world can dramatically change. That's why billions of people have gathered around the world on this day to celebrate Jesus Christ. It's not about the gifts that we're going to receive. It's all about the gift that God gave. That Jesus Christ is that precious one born in Bethlehem, laid in that manger that we celebrate tonight. So listen, pay attention. The Bible tells us in Matthew 2 and in Matthew 1, we'll read that in a moment, that now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." Matthew chapter 1 says that the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they had come together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public spectacle, was minded to put her away secretly or privately. But while he thought about these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. Listen, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." That birthday announcement of Christ changed the course of human history. But as you've gathered together tonight, I want to challenge all of us to be thinking, to be using our minds, and to be not biased or not prejudiced against anything regarding the announcement of Christ. I don't want you to be thinking about church tonight. I don't want you to be thinking about anything else other than who is this Jesus Christ? And the fact that tonight it is His desire that He arrive in your heart, that He be allowed to come in. Because our Jesus that we worship is not some carved out totem pole. He's not some sort of an image that we bow down to and look to some box or some stone. He is the living Savior. Jesus Christ is alive, and we have gathered around our living Lord and Savior. So first thing tonight we want to understand is that when we arrive at the place of Christmas. This Christmas celebration is all about a place. It's what God did for us. And that place of Christmas was this, that it was promised. God in His Bible promised mankind that there would be a place that would bring forth the announcement that the Messiah, the Savior, would be born. That place was Bethlehem. It's not just because of the Christmas cards. It's not just because Bethlehem was a shepherd's town. The fact of the matter is, the reason why the baby Jesus was to be born in Bethlehem is because the prophets foretold that's the town where He would arrive. That Christmas and the joy of Christmas arriving is all about a place. And it's not only about this place, it's manifested this way. God gave us His promise. God said, now listen, God said, you will know who He is, that when He comes, His coming would be promised in the Scriptures, the Old Testament would announce His coming, and that announcement would be that it would be in that town, that city of Bethlehem. And so if you take a reality check for a moment, you would come to the conclusion, number one, that whatever you think about the Bible, you've got to sit up and take notice that the Scriptures foretold where God's promise would be fulfilled. And that promise would be in that town of Bethlehem. The Bible said that that would happen. So you look at the Scriptures. God gives us His Word that we might know and understand that what we worship and do tonight by gathering is not some lark. It's not something forced either. Now, you may have been forced to come here tonight by someone. Maybe they bribed you with dinner later, or they're going to let you stay the night, you know, at your house if they would come to service. But listen, we come here tonight not because we're forced to do this. We don't worship because we have to. We worship the Lord because we get to, because it is a reality. God keeps His promises, and the promise is that Jesus Christ would come and that He would be born in that place of Bethlehem. Also this, that the place of Christmas is a reality. The Bible tells us that when Mary would bring forth this child, that even that would be a great, great fulfillment of God's Word. It would be a reality. The Bible says in Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born." Well, that's nothing new. Children are born all the time. But the next word says that a son would be given. A child would be born, but that would be true because God would give His Son. And the government would be upon His shoulders, said the Bible. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. The reality is Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. That Jesus Christ is the Christmas story. And as I said a moment ago, the Bible promises us about this great arrival of Christmas is that it's a prophetic fact. God, and allow me this, maybe you're a skeptic this evening. Allow me this. Let's say for a moment that God made you, that you have been engineered by God, that your very logic, your reason, your thought process, your ability to argue for the truth of something or to defend something, your ability to write a poem or to sing a song, things that are something beyond the fact that you're a spiritual or I should say a physical person. You and I obviously are physical people. We're standing here right now, but your life goes way beyond what is of this physical realm. There's no box inside your brain or near your heart that can deliver a poem or write a song. The emotions that you feel and have, God has put those things there. I want you to be thinking about that because God wants you to use those things. God says in the Bible in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. How are we going to know that the Savior of the world is going to come? Who will He be? God wrote 743 years before Jesus was born in the prophet Isaiah. I'll give you this sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call His name Emmanuel. The name Emmanuel means God dwelling among us. Jesus Christ. Use your mind and think. No other character in the history of mankind has had the story written about Him in advance but Jesus Christ. That's why we worship Him. We're not just some silly, dumb Christians that we just do this because it's what we're supposed to do. I don't know about you. Maybe you were born and raised in a Christian home. I was not. But we've arrived at this place tonight because we have chosen to follow Christ. Because we have been convinced that it is the truth. It's not based upon feelings. Our faith tonight is founded upon fact. And I want you to think and be understanding tonight that is the truth of Christmas arriving? Now that little girl spoke about the clock striking midnight. But what about a midnight in your heart? What about a midnight in your life? When God would want to arrive and reveal Himself to you? I can't think of a greater time than at Christmas. Secondly, arriving at the joy of Christmas means this, that we arrive at the purpose of what Christmas is all about. The purpose of what Christmas is all about. The purpose of Christmas, first of all, was announced. God's angels parted the sky over that wonderful little town. By the way, those of you who have been with us to Israel, Bethlehem is still an interesting place. Frankly, I like getting to Bethlehem rather than Bethlehem itself. Why? Because you can't get to Bethlehem without going through the shepherds' fields and the hillsides where the shepherds still keep their flocks. We were given a Bible study in the shepherds' fields of Bethlehem, and I was kind of disappointed because as we were talking about Bethlehem there in the foreground before us and standing on these rolling hills, there were no sheep. Didn't see any around, and I thought, well, it would have been a great moment for God to have some sheep there for us. But, oh well, at least there was a manger there. There was an actual manger. They're kind of throughout the area. And that's an amazing thing, too, because, you know, a manger's not made out of wood. I know the one on your coffee table's made out of wood, but mangers were not made out of wood. Wood was too precious. They're hewn out of stone. And this little girl, she came out of nowhere and she moves this metal that was laying on the ground. She moved the metal over and it revealed this hole. And she grabbed this rope and she pulled up this plastic bucket and she began to pour water into the bucket and she left. She went away. We thought that was kind of odd. And out of the hillside where there's forest, you could hear bells starting to ring and clang and sheep began to come out of the hill. And they came right down, and I thought God had answered my prayer. He brought sheep right out of the woods there, and they began to take water right in front of us. That's my view of Bethlehem, having been there. But I love the fact, my friend, listen carefully. I love the fact concerning the purpose of Christmas being announced over that town of Bethlehem by an angelic host. You might say tonight, well, I've never seen such a thing. I have to admit to you, I have not seen such a thing either. But I have stood in Bethlehem. I know that there's shepherd fields there. I know that what my Bible says is what God does. He always keeps His Word. And what He has announced is that Christmas came in Jesus Christ. That through that baby born would be the opportunity for you and I, listen, to have our sins forgiven. That we could have eternal life. That God would send that gift to us. Not by any works of our own good, not by any efforts that we can somehow muster up and try to impress God. God sent His Son for us. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. By the way, that's the meaning of that name, Emmanuel. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in Matthew 2:11 that when those kings came to worship Jesus Christ, that they brought to Him treasures and they presented Him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Those three items that are mentioned speak about His very kingship, His sacrifice, and His death for us. Prophetic utterances of God's announcement that we could know Him. Revelation chapter 21, verse 6 says this, and He said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give of the water of the fountain of life freely to him who thirsts. That's the words of Jesus. In the book of Revelation, Jesus said, I will give living water, forever water, to those who are thirsty. That is thirsty of soul. The Jesus we worship tonight, yes, He came as a baby. We stopped to take notice of that. Prescribed by the Bible it would happen. That He would live 33 and a quarter years. And that He would die upon a cruel cross. That's where Jesus Christ was to end that amazing, divine and holy mission for us. I saw this day, today, looking at the news. You know, they have all the news flashes about the year, the past year and what's gone on. And, you know, they're all analyzing the candidates' Christmas greetings. Have you seen that in the news? Everyone's analyzing. They're all asking, well, what do you think she meant about that? And what do you think he meant about this? And everyone's talking about supposedly Mike Huckabee's Christmas announcement's got a cross in the back. That's got, it's a bookshelf, but it looks like a cross. So they're all upset about that. Did you see what John McCain's announcement was all about? Thank God what he did. Did you, anybody see it? Raise your hand. Don't be shy. No one saw it. Everyone's bickering about, did Mike Huckabee put up a cross behind him in a bookshelf? The shadow looks like a cross. In John McCain's presidential Merry Christmas America, he said that he was in the Hanoi Hilton. That's not a nice place. He was a prisoner of war for 5 years. He was talking about Christmas morning when one of his captors came in and took a stick and drew the cross. And then commercial, they draw a cross on the commercial. I mean, it's not alluded to. It's the cross, man. And John McCain makes reference there, clear reference, about the cross being significant about Christmas. We don't often think about the cross being a Christmas symbol, but it is. Jesus Christ came and the purpose of His coming was to go to the cross. That message today that we celebrate of Christmas is that Jesus Christ is that Christ of Christmas. It's wonderful. It's glorious. It's a wonderful thing to realize. And I don't know about you, church. You guys, I am so proud of you. And I know it's not just us, but there's a lot of you around town. And I got to tell you, over and over again, about an hour and a half ago, I had to run to the store to get some milk because Lisa needed milk. And I walked in and I had been working in the yard. I was not smelling the best I could be, kind of stinky, grassy, sweaty. And I wasn't thinking about anything else. I had a mission, get the milk. get the milk. And so I went in there, and as soon as the door opened at Vaughn's, someone from this church said, "Merry Christmas, Pastor Jack!" And that has happened, I think, every day, all month long. And you guys are something, you rebels, you. You guys. But are we more in tune to that this year? Or are we taking Christmas back finally? Because it seems like everyone is announcing Merry Christmas. And so we should. Why is that so vitally important? Because the purpose of Christmas, listen, the purpose of Christmas will ultimately be fulfilled. Well, you say, "Jack, you mean when I open up my gifts?" No. When the absolute finality, purpose, completion, that Alpha and the Omega, there will be a day when the entire Christmas story will be concluded. And that's when Christ returns. See, He came the first time, born as a baby. But read the fine print of the Bible. The Bible says He's going to come again as the ruling King, the Lord. He's going to come back to earth and He's going to set things straight. Isn't that going to be a great day? He's going to fix this world. Man, do we need Him. We need Him. And so, the Lord is going to fulfill Christmas for us, and that is going to be a great, wonderful thing. And then finally this, arriving at Christmas means this, that we arrive at the passion of Christmas. And the passion of Christmas is this, that the passion of Christmas was of God. There is just a natural, maybe supernatural, flavor that this holiday puts in the hearts of people around the world. And don't you think for a moment that that must warm the heart of God? I think He loves it. And when we begin to think that way, in fact, think this way. John 3:16 is the ultimate Christmas announcement. For God so loved the world. Imagine, think for a moment. He's looking down at this poor, lost, and lonely world. A world that is being vandalized and victimized by evil and pain, war and suffering. He loves us. You say, "Well, Jack, if He loves us and the God that you're talking about is a God of love, then why is all this stuff going on around the world? And why is there murder and pain?" And my friend, great question, but can I encourage you for a moment? Read the Bible and get the answer. The Bible makes it very clear that when those things happen to us in this world, that's something that sin brings forth in this world. The Bible calls that sin. And by the way, listen, Satan loves it. Jesus said, "I've come to give you life, but the thief has come to rob and to kill and destroy you." He was referencing to Satan. When you look around all this world and all the mayhem and all the stuff that's going on, isn't it amazing? Why don't we start giving credit where credit's due? We ought to give credit to Satan for all the knucklehead stuff that's going on. Think about it. He loves babies being aborted. He loves people being beaten and injured. And He loves marriages being broken up. Satan loves that. He loves children. He loves us see or have little children be offended and hurt. He loves that stuff. God hates that stuff. You and I are at this moment of the 21st century, and there's a great cosmic battle, as it were, in a way. Not for who's going to win heaven. Will Jesus win in the end? Hey, listen, Jesus already won. In fact, He won before He ever got started. Listen, the battle is over your heart and mine. It's not some epic battlefield someplace. The Armageddon is going to take place someday. It's in Israel, the Valley of Megiddo. Sure, everybody knows about that. But what about the Armageddon of your heart and your life? There's a war that goes on and takes place every day. For the Christian, it's like this. I want to love God more. I want to walk with God. I want to have God greater and bigger in my life. I want to see Him work in my life. And maybe for the non-Christian, you're trying to make this life make some sort of sense, and you see all the stuff that's going on, and it's one you know, foot in front of the other, and one more rung on the ladder, and if I just get to the top and grab that ring, I'm going to have fulfillment. I'm going to have meaning and purpose. And it doesn't work that way. You want real passion? It comes from God, because God's the one. He fixes our lives and points us to the Christmas story and the announcement, and everything begins to fall in place when we understand that God has this passion for us to live life. And then listen to this. The passion of Christmas is to all men, to all mankind. The Bible tells us that God wants all people to be saved. That is, you say, what is this save thing? What is that all about? This word saved means to be rescued, to be delivered. The Scriptures teach everyone that we need a Savior, that we need Christ. When we consider Christmas, we will miss the whole story if we're not bringing that Christmas announcement to the conclusion that the fact of the matter is Jesus died for you and I. He has come for us. The Bible says in Acts 4:12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19, that God was in Christ. Listen, God was in Christ reconciling the world back to Himself. What a great word that is. And then Philippians 2 says, therefore God has highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. My friend, listen, tonight, can you say that? Can you say that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father? And can you say it and mean it? I hope you can. Frankly, honestly, if you can't, you're going to miss Christmas. You're still going to miss Christmas. Boy, you're going to miss it. Oh, you might have eggnog. You might cut the ham or cut the turkey. But do you have Christmas? Christmas means the most when we can say Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And then we end with this. The passion of Christmas is for us. I don't know about you, but when you're little, Christmas is really all about you. I mean, think about it. In fact, we're trained that way. You know, we're brought up thinking about writing a list for Santa. You think about what you want. You drop hints. We've got our ways. You know, I guess when we get older, you know, we still maybe will drop those kind of hints. But we just seem to lose, you know, the zeal about it. But what am I going to get? But when you're a little kid, it means everything. It's so exciting. But the cool thing is everybody wins, because the kid wants something. Your child wants something. But the parent gets absolute sheer delight watching the child's face when their little hands begin to unwrap that thing that they wanted. The parent is delighted. There's this satisfaction. And when you get kids, it's one of the great blessings. I know you got to pay for all that stuff, but the comeback is that you get to see their face. It's like going to Disneyland. I mean, somebody's got to pay, but at least you get to see their face. Well, listen, Christmas is for us. And so, church, tonight I want you to consider, and friends, as we wrap this up, I want you to be aware of this. The Bible tells us, and we have seen and do testify, that the Father has sent His Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him and He in God. The Bible goes on also to say in 2 Corinthians 5, that for He, God, made Him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin for us, that we might receive the righteousness of God that is in Him through faith. And listen, I end with this. Everybody tomorrow, you'll see kids out on the street riding their bikes. Are they riding old bikes tomorrow? They're riding new bikes. Everything's new tomorrow. At least for tomorrow, it's new. When I was leaving the store tonight, I saw this, and everybody else saw it too. Everyone's just looking at this thing. Now, I'm a pastor. I wasn't lusting. I was just looking at it. But this woman was driving this brand new, obvious Christmas Mercedes-Benz. I mean, it was obvious. And everyone's looking at this car. And I've never seen a Mercedes-Benz like this. I don't know where it came from. Now, I don't know what she thought, but I can tell you that everyone was looking at this car. She may have thought they were looking at her. I assure you, we were looking at the car. Why? It screamed new. It was something. Everything about new. People are going to ask you, oh, that's a really nice sweater. Yeah, it's new. Got it for Christmas. When you go back to work, someone's going to say, that's a really nice watch. Got it for Christmas. And it's all new, and we love the newness of things. And that's normal. That's great. That's fantastic. But listen, the Bible says, last verse of the night, the ultimate, in my opinion, Christmas verse for us tonight. Therefore, the Bible says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. How long does that last? Till you get a dent in it? No. God gives a new life. And it doesn't get scratched. It doesn't get a dent in it. It's a new life that begins here and now. Jesus said it's being born again. That is born a second time. And listen, all of a sudden, what is new for us as believers in Christ becomes more new every day. Until there's going to come a day, my friends, that you and I will wake up in eternity. And Jesus wants you in heaven with Him. The Bible from cover to cover. This book doesn't say things to keep you out. It tells you how to get in. It tells you how to live. This scripture, the Bible that God gives you, doesn't make it for some elite group of people. Somebody might turn and say, oh, you're one of those Christians. Why? Do you want to be one too? Come with us. Listen, it's not that we're something. Our God is something. It's not that we can do anything. He did it all. He's awesome. He's wonderful. He's the Christ of Christmas. Do you know Him? You can become new. Now, that's too big of a crowd tonight to have anything for you to jump up, come forward or whatever. There's 3,000 people in here sitting down. But listen, you can make the decision right here, right now. So I'm going to ask you to pray, or to bow your head anyway. I'll lead you in a prayer. And you can make a decision tonight. I know there's a lot of people, but nobody needs to know just right now. I'll look. Because everyone Jesus called and invited, He called publicly. I don't care how old you are. Listen. Tonight, you have the opportunity to get the answer to the test. I'll give you the question. The question is, why should I let you into heaven? God would say that tonight. Why should I let you into heaven? Friends, listen. There's only one answer that works. There's only one. Last Sunday, third service, precious man was visiting this church. He was touched by what had gone on. And he began to say, I'm going to go to heaven because I tried the best I can. He was so sincere. He said, I'm going to go to heaven because I do really good things. My friends, that's not the answer. How do you get into heaven tonight? It's by receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you can do that right now. That's the answer. When God says in the end, when you stand before Him, He's going to ask you, why should I let you in? It can't be anything of your performance or of your good efforts or your works. You don't get in that way. It will be this. I trusted Jesus Christ in my life, who died on the cross for my sins. Jesus rose again from the dead. He's the Christ of Christmas. I put my absolute trust in Him. He is my everything. I come with nothing. Lord, I come only with Him, and He's all I need. I've trusted Christ. He died on the cross for me, and my sins have been forgiven through Him. Let's bow our heads and let's pray right now. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask You that as You move across this sanctuary tonight by the power of Your Holy Spirit, that You would touch hearts tonight to make decisions for You. That tonight, right now, You would seize a heart. My friends, keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed in an attitude of prayer. Listen carefully. You need Jesus. I'm not asking you to ever come back to this church. I'm not asking you to join any church. I'm not asking you to give us your name. I don't need that. I don't know if I'll ever see you again. That's not even important. Please hear this. Right now, right where you're at, what are you going to do this Christmas? That if you should die today or die next week or die someday, we will. How will you get into heaven? The opportunity is being presented to you tonight to be able to say, I want Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I want to give Him my life and have Him forgive me of my sins. Heads bowed, eyes closed, wherever you might be right now. If you agree with that, if you want Jesus Christ tonight, I'm just going to ask you to slip your hand up and I'll see your hand and I'll just have you put your hand down. I would love to get an email from you or somehow maybe get a note from you just that you say, hey, I made that decision. Put your hand up right now if you're going to vote for Jesus Christ tonight. God bless you. Over here on my right, several of you in this section, and many in this section, raise your hand high. Too many. I mean, not too many. I'm glad you're doing this. But so many. Over here, God bless you. Up front over here. To my left, God bless you. Anyone else over here? Many in the back. Young little hand right there. God bless you, kiddo. Over here on the aisle, there's hands everywhere. Tonight you're saying, I want Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Listen, those of you who are Christians and those of you who just raise your hands, pray this prayer out loud, would you? Dear Lord, I give You my life. Thank You, Father, for sending Jesus, the Christmas gift. I thank You now that He died on the cross for me, that He rose again from the dead, that this is the Christmas story, and I receive You now. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Praise the Lord. So many people.